私の目の瞳に必要な存在。Hello, everybody in H10 Hanshin Tigers English News Land. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us yet again for episode number 34. That's right. We're more than a third of the way to 100. Unbelievable. Today is June the 12th, 2016. My name is T-Ray. I am your host, and with me as co-host, as always, is...
Good old Joe.
Good old Joe. How are you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good outside of the world of baseball.
No kidding.
So we won't go straight into that right away, but you've got a wedding coming up, don't you?
Yep. I guess, 10 days at this point? So, or 12 days. We're getting there.
Okay, so, excellent.
Finishing up the
getting
plans.
Getting pretty excited.
Yeah, we went to the courthouse this past week, got our marriage certificate and all that. So it's happening.
Right on. Well... Okay, no backing out now unless we want to make a Hollywood movie about people being stood up at the altar. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Anyways, wish you all the best, and I hope that you can update us on that as things continue to progress. Let's talk a little bit about episode 34, Hanshin Tigers number 34. That would be Kazuya Takamiya, who is on the Hanshin Tigers, currently on the farm, I think, rehabbing an injury. But just so you guys know his story, he was born and raised in Osaka, and then he was drafted by the Yokohama Bay Stars, and he played out 5 years there before moving on to the Oryx Buffaloes. He played with Oryx for a couple of years, and then he came over to Hanshin, and he's been with us ever since. But he started as number 40, so we won't be going back to him for episode 40, but he is now wearing number 34. And he's kind of in a mixed bag as far as relief goes. He's had some good times and some bad times. Certainly, though, the best years of his career so far have been with the Hanshin Tigers, and maybe that's saying something. He's not having a great 2016 so far, but hopefully he can turn it around. The one thing that has kind of slowed him down this year, I think, other than the injury, is that we brought in Takahashi, who has become our main lefty reliever out of the bullpen, and so maybe that was a bit of a hit to his ego. But anyways, all the best to you, Takamiya, and we're going to do all of our best on this episode 34. Catch you in a bit. All right, so Joe, how was the week of baseball, the week of Hanshin Tigers for you?
It was pretty gross.
Yeah.
I think as all Tigers fans will admit to.
Yeah, I can imagine it was the same for me. Did you watch a lot of the games this week?
Yeah, I caught most of them. I missed a lot of the Ohtani game, but, you know, being at that time of day, it's impossible for me to watch it. It's like on at like 2 a.m., so right. I caught the highlights this morning. But, yeah, okay. No, it's, you know, tough to see the team struggle.
For sure. Well, this whole week we spent on the road, so it was almost like an expected struggle, especially since we are facing the number 2 and number 3 teams in the Pacific. But honestly, I mean, if you look at our predictions from last week, neither of us imagined it would be this bad. We can also look at the predictions of guys like Patrick, who was on the show. He actually thought we would sweep the Marines and then maybe go 1-1-1 against the Fighters. And then Christian actually was pretty close. He wasn't like super clear on his predictions, so he did not say 100% that we would get swept by the Marines, but he said it was a possibility. Anyways... Speaking of those pesky Marines, let's jump into the recap of the first series of the week. So we are in Chiba for this one, and we bring Atsushi Nomi to the mound, and they bring Ayumu Ishikawa, who is probably their staff ace. He is a very good pitcher. He's definitely no Ohtani or Norimoto or Sugano, but he's definitely good. And so this one ended up being a 2-1 loss for us, because in the bottom of the second, Nomi served up another big home run to another big foreign man. In this case, it was Navarro, who is their new import. And he hit this one deep. So 1-0, fortunately it was a solo shot. And then in the bottom of the sixth, Navarro actually came through again. It was an RBI single, I believe. And so that made the score 2-0. I got it in reverse. Sorry, the RBI single was in the second, and the home run, the solo shot home run, was in the sixth. Anyways, two runs, both off the bat of Navarro. So he really haunted us on this game. And how about the Tigers, Joe?
Yeah, in the so we're down 2-0 in the seventh. We actually have a decent inning, and we have runners on first and third with two outs. Fukudome comes up and gets a hit to left field. And it was a pretty good liner to left, but the left fielder was running up on it to come in and decided to stop and let it bounce in front of him because he couldn't have made the play. So it was a pretty good hit to left, and it got us, you know, one run in. So, looks like we might have a chance. But then Gomez comes up and strikes out to end the inning. So, not the best, possibility with two runners on base, but at least we got one run. But our bats don't show up for the rest of the game, and then that's it.
Yeah, that's right. So that extends our losing streak to two, and it broke the Lotte losing streak at three. And they've got to be feeling pretty good about this one. But they actually they recorded 9 hits, which is, it's adequate. It's not amazing, but we actually ended up with 10 hits in this one.
Yeah.
The only unfortunate thing is, how many of those were for extra base? Zero. Mm-hmm. Not a single one. They were all singles. And we just weren't able to connect them together to score runs in this one. So that was a real bummer for us, for sure.
Yeah, and we had a lot of chances to score here, because a lot of our hits were leadoffs. I mean, in the third, we had 2 leadoff hits. The sixth, we had 2 leadoff hits. So you can't say we didn't have chances to score runs. So
what happened, I think, in both of those, though, was that we failed on the bunt, if I'm not mistaken. I remember reading that the next day. Truth be told, I didn't watch this game at all. And so I just had to read about it and watch highlights. And yeah, I was told that Hojo blew it in the third, and then Cano blew it in the sixth. So we were trying to advance the runners, I guess, because we knew that it was going to be a tough day to score runs, and blew it on both.
Yeah, there was one play I did want to mention in the second, though. Takayama had a hit to second base and actually beat out the throw. It was, mm-hmm. A little bit, towards the gap, but the second baseman had to kind of come back into the outfield just a hair, and Takayama beat the throw, gunning it to first base. So that was pretty cool to see. And then in the eighth, Takayama had a kind of a sliding catch towards foul, right at the bottom of the wall, just running full tilt, right, and slid and caught the ball with a nice catch in the eighth there.
Yeah, yeah. So Takayama had a pretty decent game, 2 hits and a walk and that nice catch. And actually, Gomez had a bit of a stinker. He went 1-for-4, but he struck out 3 times. And each of those ended the inning, and each of those we had runners on base. So a good chance for him to stay up at the top of the RBI standings for sure, but this just was not his game. So kind of a bummer. Let's move on to the action on Wednesday, though, and we brought rookie Koyo Aoyagi to the mound. This was his second career start after yesterday's, last week's good debut up in Sendai. And they brought Sekiya, who is, I believe, also a rookie. They brought him to the mound. And they struck early, and they struck on, it was a sacrifice fly. They had runners on first and third, and they scored that first run in that way. That was in the bottom of the first.
And then in the second, we came up and had a decent inning to start. And with runner on third, Yokota came and put one up the gap between first and second and got an RBI hit.
He pulled one? What?
Yeah, it was actually, it was just right at the gap, so it was a good hit. Uh-huh. But, we only got one run there, but we tied it back up and said, hey, we're in this game.
Until the bottom of the third. And then Navarro comes through again with another RBI single. So it's 2-1. But then I believe it was Suzuki that followed that up with a 2-run RBI double for them. And then they got – actually, no, that was a yeah, it was a 2-run RBI double. So that made it 4-1. And actually, he ended up being gunned down at third to end the inning. So it could have been worse, that was the second out of the inning. Anyways, it could have been worse because they could have had a guy on third. But That was not the case. But 4-1 after three innings. Not looking good for Aoyagi at all.
Coming back in the fourth, the bats came alive again, thanks to an error by their third baseman, allowing Iokawa to stay on base. And then with the runner on second, Hojo came up and rolled one all the way to center field up the gap, and got an RBI there as well. So it's 2-4 going into the fifth.
Yeah, and going into the fifth, but not leaving the fifth, because Aoyagi was not able to complete the fifth. And in fact, with runners on second and third, he hit one to left and brought home both runners. So it's 6-2 now, and the game is definitely looking out of hand. In fact, in the bottom of the eighth, with the game really out of hand, it's bases loaded, two outs, and their guy Omine comes up and hits one to left. Scoring two more runs, so it's 8-2. This one is all but over. I mean, we got a 6-run deficit going into the ninth inning. Of course, it's kind of fortunate they didn't bring their closer in. Not right away, anyways.
Yeah, we started off the inning with getting guys on base. We ended up having the bases loaded, and Gomez and then Haraguchi come up and both strike out. So, Takayama comes up and actually gets a walk, and actually they push a run in, so we get one run, but you can't say we didn't have a chance to get it back to being a close game with Gomez and Haraguchi being up to bat with the bases loaded, but no outs.
So again, Gomez strikes out again. He had three in this game, so that's six in two games. Again, one of those ended an inning, and the other ones just kind of snuffed out rallies, because the other two we had runners on base. Actually, we had runners on base for all of his strikeouts, but runners in scoring position for the last two of his strikeouts. So just not a good one for him again. I don't really know if I would say that anybody for the Tigers had an outstanding game here. Haraguchi had two hits, and he got hit by a pitch. That's about as good as it gets for us, eh?
Yeah. And Okita had a good relief, though. He had
true.
After Aoyagi got pulled in the fifth, Okita came in and finished that inning in the next and had four strikeouts and gave up one hit. So it's good to see him come up with a solid relief there. Good to see.
You know, every now and then he shows that promise.
Absolutely.
He definitely has like a calmness about him on the mound, I find. Like, I guess even when he's getting battered, he doesn't get too frazzled or anything. But, you know, certainly when he's up there and he's doing his thing, he actually looks like he knows what he's doing, which is good.
Yeah.
But, so 8-3. So we have now lost three straight, and we are sinking in the standings. It's really not looking good, and we are going in. This time we're bringing Fujinami to the mound on Thursday, so it seems like it could be a little bit more promising. And they are bringing, who did they bring to the mound again? Here we go. Futaki. Futaki is another young guy on their team, but he's definitely no match for Fujinami if he is at his best. However, if you remember last week, we talked about how great an outing Fujinami had, and it was his first time in seven outings, not giving up the leadoff, not putting the leadoff guy on base, and then also not giving up a run in the first inning. Well, he returned to his old ways in this one. He put the first guy on base, and then it was on a pass ball that the first run scored 1-0, and then they actually got another one. This is still no outs, mind you. With a runner on second and a base hit to right field scores him. So it's 2-0 after one inning. And in the second inning, just as things were looking good, he's got two outs. And it's looking like he might be able to do something. He just starts to allow all sorts of messy hits and stuff. And it's 4-0 before the dust settles in this one. So, a 4-0 debt after two innings is not good for this team, is it?
No. And then in the fourth, we actually start to claw it back a little bit. Nishioka comes up with a runner on second and gets a liner down the foul line to right to get an RBI. And then later in that inning, with runners on second and third, Fukudome grounds out to second but gets a run across. So we claw two of the runs back and actually could have had more there in the fourth. But getting into the bottom of the fourth, Fujinami actually had some struggle and actually got hit in the fifth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the fifth, he got hit in more ways than one.
Yeah.
The first way that he got hit was a leadoff home run in that inning to a guy that is definitely not known for his power, but he hit one over the right field wall. So now it is 5-0. And a couple of guys later, when was it exactly? No, it was in the fourth for Fujinami. This was the home run was off of Moriya. Pardon me, in the fourth inning, actually, Fujinami suffered an injury. He actually got hit by a comebacker. He got hit in the right hand. It looked like his wrist, but I think it was his thumb. But it was on a ground out. Anyways, he left the game. He was unable to go any further. So Enokita comes in again and looks great again. He finishes off the fourth. And then in the fifth, Moriya comes in, and the first pitch, the first guy that he faces is a solo shot. Then he calms down and gets a couple outs, but then a couple more big hits, a double to center and a triple to right, and all of a sudden the score is 7-2. So even though it looked like we were coming back into the game, Moriya pooped the bed, and that was it for us. And that was the end of the scoring. So 7-2 final. They racked up 14 hits, which included, you know, a home run, two doubles and a triple, so four extra base hits. We ended up with seven hits, including three doubles and four singles, and just the two runs. Any impressions on this one other than the Fujinami injury or anything else, Joe?
Not a lot. I mean, we just, you know, we had a chance in the sixth to score with two runners on, but we grounded out of those. Other than that, we really didn't have a whole lot of chances to score. I mean, we did have seven hits, but they were, you know, we didn't have any hits. They went 1-2-3 for the first three innings, the fifth inning, the seventh inning, you know. So it was very much a game where we were struggling to find that offense.
Yeah. So Taichi Okazaki came in relief of Haraguchi, who actually left with an injured left thumb. And I didn't really catch how or when it happened. I think it was on a foul tip. That he just took off of the wrong part of the glove or whatever.
I think I read that he finished the inning and then he got replaced the next inning.
Okay, that's probably why I didn't notice that he got really badly hurt. But both he and Fujinami got hurt in this one. They both went to hospitals in the Kanto area and both were diagnosed with bruises, I guess deep bruises, but nothing broken. So that's good news, amidst this third straight loss and a sweep of the Lotte Marines, a sweep by the Lotte Marines, I should say. So that was real unfortunate. Of course, Moriya did terrible in the bullpen. Shimamoto, again, did not show anything great in the bullpen for the second straight day. And basically for his whole time that he has been up at Ichigun, he has been pretty awful. Despite his 2.7 ERA, he actually has allowed tons of inherited runners to score. And I don't think he ever pitched a clean 1-2-3 inning his entire time up on Ichigun. Speaking of which, before we jump into the next series, Moriya and Shimamoto both got demoted. I think it was after this game. And making room for Kazuo Ito. It is his first time ever being called up to Ichigun, I believe. I think it's his first time ever, but he's been with the team for about five seasons now. And then also we brought up Ryutaro Umeno, and the reason for that, I think, is because they weren't sure of the severity of the Haraguchi injury, and they wanted to have that extra catcher in just in case. So we kind of lose the services of Haraguchi a little bit, as we're going to see in the Fighters series, but also, Fujinami's hurt. We lost three straight. It's now a four-game losing streak, and we're just spiraling downward and downward. Very ugly stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how much it can get worse, but...
Yeah, but let's jump ahead now to the Fighters and Tigers series, which started on Friday. This was in Sapporo at the Dome. And we bring ace Yuta Iwasada to the mound, and they bring Mendoza to the mound, who is not an outstanding pitcher by any means. And we actually did a pretty good job of battering him up, at least to an extent.
Yeah, in the second, we actually Takayama came up with the runners on first and then crushed a ball to left field, and it hit the base of the wall or maybe right before the wall, and then kind of bounced back over the outfielder. So he actually turned that into a triple and got a RBI off of that in the second. So we started out pretty good, and we had hits in the first five innings and multiple hits in quite a few chances.
Yes.
But, you know, the multiple hits in the second, fourth, and fifth. But then in the fifth, the last hit in the inning was Gomez with runners on first and second, and a grounder up the gap to get another RBI. So we bring in another run there. So we're up 2-0 going into the bottom of the fifth.
And in the bottom of the fifth, Uesada ran into some trouble. He actually allowed an RBI double to left field to a guy named Ono. And so it was now 2-1. And then actually the very next inning, he allowed another run. This was on another single to left to Sho Nakata, who's one of their great players. And I think he hit the first pitch that he saw, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, it's 2-2 now. And the lead is gone. And Uesada is looking a little bit frazzled. And in the seventh, actually, the run goes against him, but actually it was while Takahashi was pitching, I believe, where a grounder to shortstop ended up scoring a run because they had guys on first and third at the time. So it's now 3-2. The Fighters are beating us, and we are heading into face their relief.
And then, so in the eighth, we start off the inning with a hit by Gomez and then a double by Fukudome. Runners on second and third, no outs. And then Takayama comes up and gets a double up the left field line on a full count hit to get two runners in. Gyakuten, lead change. We're up 4-3 going into the bottom of the eighth.
Looking good, a clean inning from Dolis, and then we get nothing in the top of the ninth, and it's the bottom of the ninth, and again, for lack of a proper closer, honestly, we bring in Kyuji Fujikawa. Well, he gives up a hit to shortstop. No fault of Toritani's, it was hit between short and third, and so he was running away from first when he... he was running the opposite way when he grabbed the ball, and there was no way he was going to get the runner at first. But the next guy to come up is Brandon Laird, who's their slugger, who's leading their team in home runs. He's second in the PL in home runs. And if you remember, the guy that's first in the PL in home runs is Ernesto Mejia, who also victimized us. Well, guess what? Fujikawa gave him the juiciest pitch ever, and he put that thing out of the park, no mistake. Walk off. Gyakuten, sayonara, goodbye, it's out of here, home run, 5-4, Fighters win, Hanshin Tigers have now lost 5 straight.
Oh, I wanted to bang my head on my desk when I was watching this. This was disgusting.
Yes, absolutely.
Just such a, losing 4 in a row and having the hope, like this was such an up and down game, back and forth, lead changes all over the place. But after the eighth, I'm like, all right, we can do this. We got the lead. Let's do it. And then to lose in such a disgusting fashion of giving up a juicy pitch, oh man, it hurt.
Yes, absolutely did hurt. That was a really tough one to watch. I know I felt like I got punched in the gut. Actually, before that, let's talk about one other play that was a really important, huge one. And that was another reversed call at home base. Yep. It was not collision rule based, but can you tell us a little bit about that one, Joe?
Yeah, there was I don't recall what inning it was, but it was a runner on third, and they did the safety squeeze and bunted, but then got the got him into a pickle running down third, and they kept throwing back and forth, back and forth. There was probably, what, 4 or 5 throws? And then the guy on the closer to the third base side tossed it over one of our other Hanshin players in the middle to the towards the was it the catcher that caught it? And
it was Iwasada,
the pitcher. And yeah, he kind of catches it, and the runner's trying to run around him and get to the plate, and Hiwasada tries to make the tag, but is called, the runner's called safe, you know, at the plate. But, you know, for me, for my first look, it looked like he tagged him, but maybe not really heavily because his glove didn't move a whole lot. But I thought he tagged him. And then, so he was called safe. And then after review, he was actually called out.
Yes. So, yeah, the video replay showed that, in fact, Iwasada did tag him before he touched the plate, and also that he was not in the path of the runner, although I don't know if that was ever in question. What I found to be in question, and I don't know why this was not called something or other, was that Hojo was standing right on the base path between third and home, and the runner actually had to go around him inside the baseline in order to continue towards home plate. Now, this rundown was really sloppy, too. I mean, there were a couple of guys that could have just, you know, if they'd held it for one more step, they would have been able to tag the guy easily. But, you know, it delayed enough that they got that runner. The guy that actually attempted the suicide squeeze play made it all the way around to third base. And so the rundown was definitely very long and drawn out. But we got to say props to Iwasada for his play on that one. He actually scooped it up with his glove. And keep in mind, he's a left-handed pitcher, so it was the glove was on his right hand, and the bunt was actually a little bit towards first base. So he kind of reached across his body with his glove and shoveled it to the catcher in order to start that rundown. So it was really, it was a great play. It was an exciting play to watch. Mm-hmm. And it's just a bummer that this game ended in a loss, because otherwise we'd be talking about how that play was key to victory and that preserved the lead at that point. It kept us in the game, and if it weren't for that, it would have been a tie or a loss, but in fact it was a loss, so so in the end it wasn't really that important, I guess, but it was still a good play. Anything else to talk about in this one, Joe, or shall we move on to Saturday?
I think that's it for me.
I think we can move on to Saturday. This 5-game losing streak has left a terrible taste in my mouth. So the last time that we won a game, Randy Messenger was on the mound facing the Cebu Lions, and he did a good enough job for sure of holding them to, I think it was one run in seven innings. So we go into this one, we put Randy on the mound, and they put Yoshikawa on the mound. Yoshikawa is a guy that once was great for them and has struggled with injury and so on and so forth lately. Anyways, how did we do, Joe?
So Randy kept him off of the scoreboard. And then in the third, we came up with Yamato with runners on first and second, and gets a double up the left foul line. I mean, it was hooking foul, but it bounced in the fair territory to get
maybe a foot fair or maybe less.
Yeah. And so we got two runs out of that. So we're on the board 2-0. And then in the third, and then so Randy, you know, keeps his mojo going. And in the sixth, with the bases loaded, Shunsuke comes up and walks for another run. So we add another lead, another run there. And so it's 4-0, but that's all, or sorry, 3-0. And that's all we get out of that is a Oshidashi walk. And so then that's actually the end of the scoring. Randy had a heck of a game, pitched a good inning, 7 innings, only gave up 4 hits, but 8 strikeouts and 2 walks. Mm-hmm. So very clean line from Randy.
6th win of the year for him. He only had 9 all of last season. And I just can't help but think how the Japanese media is going to talk about how Randy's really having a much better year this year than he did last year. But in fact, if you look at the peripherals, you know, he's the same, man. I mean, he's been consistent for the last 3 or 4 or 5 seasons even. And it's just the offense around him, honestly. I mean, okay, so, you know, when you allow no runs, of course, your chances of winning are better. But he had several games last year where he allowed 1 run or even 0 runs, where he got a no decision or even got hung with a loss. So I think luck has just kind of turned the corner on, or, you know, turned back in his favor a little bit, which is nice. I'm really glad for him for his 6th win. In this one, also, Rafael Dolis got his first career save in NPB, so that was nice. He pitched another clean inning, and that was great to see.
Yeah, so did Takahashi in the 8th. No strikeouts or hits, but got some grounders out there to get the end of the innings.
Yeah, definitely good. Our relief was good for once. That was nice for sure. On their end, actually, a guy by the name of Yuki Saito, who many of you may know from the high school Koshien tournament from about a decade ago. He has really struggled since turning pro, but he's actually having a good year, and he pitched two innings of shutout ball of relief against us, allowing just one hit. So good for him, I guess. Yeah. And there was a rumor at the start of the year that maybe the Tigers were going to try and trade for him, and they were going to give up one of their backup catchers, and I kind of wish that had happened now. But anyways...
It better not have been Haraguchi that they gave up.
No, it was going to be Shimizu, so yeah. Who cares? Anyways, but, sorry, Shimizu fans.
One other thing I did want to mention about Okazaki in this game is actually in the first inning, they had runners on first and second, and they...
Second inning,
and they tried to... bunt, and then Okazaki grabbed the ball quickly and threw it to third, and then they got the double play at second. So it was definitely, good on him to get up there and foil that bunt.
It was a real alert play, yeah, because it was actually kind of a pop-up bunt, so he could have just caught it and gotten the first out, and it would have been one out with runners on first and second. But he kind of faked like he was going to catch it midair, and so the runners at first and second were kind of stuck. I mean, they couldn't move forward.
Yeah,
and he just let it drop, and then it was a pretty easy double play. But yeah, definite good defensive awareness. I wonder if Umeno or Haraguchi would have had the presence of mind to do that.
Yeah,
I don't want to speculate, and I don't want to dog either of those guys. But oh, by the way, we didn't mention this for Friday's game, but actually Umeno got the start. Haraguchi, I think, came in as a pinch hitter.
Yeah,
and then actually for this game that we're talking about now, Saturday's game and also Sunday's game, Haraguchi was our DH. So he's good enough that, you know, his bruised thumb is not hurting him badly enough that he can't play. It's just that I think they're trying to lighten his load and keeping him away from catching, at least until this coming week when we're back at home and we have no more DH. But so that was nice to end the losing streak. I think Okazaki has definitely found some chemistry with Messenger. That's two straight weeks that he's caught for Messenger, and he also caught for Messenger at the start of the year. So I have a feeling that combination is going to continue, at least for the time being.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that because you do need to give Haraguchi, even if he's in good form, some rest. Usually catchers aren't the everyday player that play every single game. So giving him some rest, it'd be good to find a way where we can be comfortable in finding a time to give him that rest. And if it's when Randy's on the mound, then so be it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you have to choose one, it may as well be the one that he's got the good chemistry with. And, Randy's not pitching at the end of the week as well, which is kind of nice because Monday is typically a day off. So if we continue playing things this way, Haraguchi will play, Tuesday through Friday, and then he'll get Saturday off, and then he'll play Sunday, and he'll get Monday off. So, it's decent. It's decent enough, I think. All right, let's move into our final game of the week. This one, we brought Suguru Iwazaki to the mound, and they brought Mr. Amazing.
Mr. Baseball.
Nobody can stop talking about him once they get started. Shohei Ohtani. In fact, as most of us know, he is a pitcher, but he's also a great hitter. And so they actually forsook the DH rule, and they made him their number five hitter in the lineup. Mm-hmm. Batting fifth at pitcher is something you don't hear very often, but we did hear it on Sunday.
Yeah, they've been doing that with him for a couple weeks now, I believe.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, on his pitching outings, he's done that. So, it's obviously it's good for him because he likes hitting and he likes pitching. It's bad for the opponents.
Yeah.
In this game, though, it was not so bad for us. However, what was bad for us was Iwazaki's penchant for giving up the long ball, which he did in the bottom of the first to the first batter that he faced. It was a solo shot, obviously, and then he did it in the bottom of the third to the it would be the fourth guy that he faced, but it was two outs with a runner on first, so a two-run shot, and then he did it in the bottom of the fourth. This was with one out and a runner on first as well. So another two-run shot. This one was to Brandon Laird as well, who hit the monster shot off of Fujikawa on Friday night. This one was just as much of a home run as the Friday one. It was a little bit less dramatic, but he got all of that pitch.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So 5-0 after four innings. And Iwazaki goes two more innings before leaving, and Kazuo Ito, who we mentioned earlier, who got called up, he comes in relief and pitches the game out to its end. He allowed one run. It was an unearned run. It was in the bottom of the seventh when their guy Nishikawa singled to shortstop. This one was headed towards center field. And Toritani actually dove and stopped it, and it was great. It was a nice stop. And then he tried to glove throw it to Hojo at second, but he was off by about 2 feet or so. I mean, even that's with Hojo stretching. So their runner who was already on, actually they had two runners on at the time, sorry. But their runner who was on second made it all the way home on that blunder. So it is now 6-0. Run does not get charged to Ito, but that's it. The damage is done and game over. Ohtani goes 7 innings strong, allowing just 3 hits. And their relief was clean as well. So 6-0, and we're back to our losing ways. And, 4 measly hits for us, eh?
Yeah, there really wasn't a lot to talk about on the offensive side today. Just never really had anything going, even. Had a double to start off the fifth, and a single to start off the fourth and ninth, and also the sixth. So I guess all of our hits were at the beginning of innings, but just never capitalized on any of them.
Yep. And that's been the case almost all week, where we don't capitalize on having runners on base. And it kind of is the usual culprits, at least in a sense, or at least for, you know, a little bit of it. Twice Gomez came up with guys on base. Once he double played us out of the inning. The other time he hit a foul fly to right field to record the first out. So, the other time we had 2 runners on and he flew out to right to end the inning as well. So 3 times he did it. So, Gomez has kind of had a really rough week. But speaking of players and weeks,
every week, one tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the player of the week.
Let's do this thing. Player of the week, Joe. What do you say? I'm not giving it to Gomez this week by any means, but have you got anybody that you'd love to give it to in this 1-5 week?
Yeah, I'm going to have to say that the offense doesn't really deserve a player of the week this week. Ran through the numbers. There were some Toritani was maybe a candidate, but giving up 2 errors and having no RBIs, it was tough to give it to him. And then Takayama, he had 9 strikeouts on 20 at-bats. So it was very hard to give it to him, even though he had 4 RBIs and led the team for the week. No home runs to speak of, so I am giving it to Randy for his shutout 7 innings in the win, the lone win of the week.
I ditto that. I give it to Randy as well. I mean, you know, when you only win one game, you've only really got one clutch player. Ironically, it wasn't even him that got player of the game from whoever chooses the hero. That was given to Yamato, but whatever. I don't really care about those that much. I care about ours. And Randy Messenger, you did it, man. You stepped up. You broke the losing streak pretty much all on your own. So good for you. Love what you did there. By the way, just for the record, the Hanshin Tigers have hit no home runs all week. They have hit 2 home runs in interleague play, which ranks them dead last. And I think we're dead last in the interleague standings. Oh no, wait a minute. Yakult stinks too. So we are in 11th out of 12 teams in interleague. Just terrible. Anyways, Randy Messenger, you are, for me, the lone candidate and you're the winner. So let's hope that the batters can turn things around, because that's 2 straight weeks, Joe, that we are unanimous on choosing pitchers as our player of the week.
Yeah.
All right, so we are back and we are talking the 3rd week of interleague play. Once again, just to let you guys know, we are actually doing this recording on May the 29th before interleague started, so we don't know how the Tigers have done in the first 2 weeks, but we welcome back Christian from Graveyard Baseball. Thanks for coming and joining us again.
Hello there. Good to see you again.
All right. So, Christian, we're into the final week, and the Tigers are going to be going up against the Oryx Buffaloes and the SoftBank Hawks. All 6 of these games are going to be at Koshien Stadium. So let's talk a little bit about the Oryx Buffaloes season before Interleague started. It sounds to me, or it looks to me, based on the standings and all these things, that they're not really different from the 2015 Oryx Buffaloes. They just seem to be a big mess, and they have these spurts of decent play, but they're also followed by spurts of just awful play. What's your take on it as somebody that's followed them a bit more closely?
The Oryx Buffaloes have been Oryx. I know it sounds cliche because they've only been in the playoffs twice since they've been Oryx Buffaloes. So it was 2008 and 2014. Right. The big incompetence, and there's a struggle upstairs with their front office. I mean, they have a lame duck manager in Junichi Fukuda, so that's obviously never a good sign when you have a lame duck manager. But that's how it looks right now. There's no direction. There's a bunch of veterans they've signed the past couple of years, and really you just don't know which way they're going. There's some talent. There's definitely some rotation talent, but there's also incompetent defense and some very questionable bullpen like anyone else.
Wow, okay. So all I know as far as their rotation goes is they've got, obviously at the top of the rotation, they have Chihiro Kaneko, and then they also have, is it Brandon Dixon, or am I wrong?
Yes, yeah, Brandon Dixon.
Yeah, those are the only two names that I really know, but I also know that they've got, I think their closer is Nishino.
No, their closer is Yoshihisa Hirano.
Wrong on both counts. Okay. But then, was it a starter named Nishi?
Yes, no, Yuki Nishi. Yes, Yuki Nishi's okay. A starter. He's okay. Having a slow year.
So, tell us a little bit more about their rotation or some of the other guys that we might be expected to face.
So, yeah, you could be seeing Brandon Dixon. Oh, no, you're playing them on the front end of the week. So you'd probably see Kaneko. There's some other spot guys they've had, one guy named Kazuki Kondo, a veteran. They've kind of been bouncing around the middle of their rotation. But Yuki Nishi, Brandon Dixon, and Chihiro Kaneko on paper were the bigger named starters. And right now, we're seeing a lot of down years from some of these starters, with the exception of Kaneko. I mean, the ERA is kind of bloated. Some of it probably has to do with some terrible range in the infield and in the outfield. I've seen some, as I said, very poor defense that have led to losses. There's a lot of incompetence on the field. It's hard to watch them. They have to be one of the hardest teams to watch. But they have a good starting rotation on paper, though. And just right now, it's not looking good. But you never know in a few weeks' time, and maybe things can turn around. But there's just no direction, and I think the lame duck management thing has hurt them quite a bit.
Right. Okay. And I caught one of the exhibition games against them in the preseason, and they had a couple of imports in their batting lineup. How have they done, or are they still even in the starting lineup?
The only guy they've really been playing significantly is Brent Morrell. He's had some time in the field. He's been okay. Brian Bogusevich has been sent down at the time of this recording. But Tony Blanco has been obviously well-traveled in NPB. He's finally healthy. So as long as Blanco is healthy, he'll be able to hit for them and give them contributions among the imports.
Right.
But they also signed recently that guy named Matt Clark.
Yeah, that's right.
That was the other link name. So I don't know if he comes up by the time you guys see them or not, but that would be interesting. There's a lot of veterans, though. A lot of veterans they've signed from Aichi Koyano to Hiroyuki Nakajima, Old Lion, our former friend. But there's just no direction. I've already said before, there's talent, there's guys like Yoshio Itoye who can hit, and then guys like Okada who can hit, but there's just too many questions, too many question marks.
Well, they had those same question marks and those same guys last year, and they tore us to pieces. We got blown out 15-0 and 10-1, I think it was, in the Saturday and Sunday game. So hopefully that will not repeat itself this time around. But I'd like to see the Tigers do a clean sweep here. And I think it's possible, depending on who we face. If we face Kaneko, maybe we'll give them the one game. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think you'll take 2 out of 3 from them on paper. Their hitting might show up randomly, or their pitching will randomly show up sometimes. But I think 2 out of 3 is very possible. There are some pests and hitters you got to watch out for, like Masahiro Nishino. That's been the other promising leadoff hitter for them. But otherwise, really, on paper, the Buffaloes are just an incompetent team that has no direction. And yeah, last year they only swept them because they fired their manager and they had some life. And I remember that.
Well, here's the hoping then they don't make any drastic moves just before they face us so that they can be the normal stinky Buffaloes. All right, let's talk about the final series of Interleague, at least for the Tigers, and that is the big one. We're hosting the SoftBank Hawks. as everybody in all of Japan knows, the SoftBank Hawks are the practically unbeatable, you know, super talented, super motivated, just a well-oiled machine. They're well-managed, all that kind of stuff. What can you tell us about their hitting order or about their rotation that maybe we don't know yet?
Well, one thing that's interesting is how they could rotate like 7 or 8 guys if they want to. They have so much luxury at pitcher that you could put a lot of pitchers on other teams and they would be mid-rotation or front-end starters, but they have so many starters, it's just ridiculous.
And then they also won the draft lotto for Junpei Takahashi as well.
I don't even know if we'll see him. Yeah, that's the problem. There's too many guys in front that we probably won't see him this year.
Yeah, for sure. So and then as far as the hitting goes, they actually lost De Li Ho to the Seattle Mariners in the offseason. But it seems to me like they really have not even skipped a beat as far as that goes. And that comes despite the fact that Yanagita has not had the same stellar season he had last year, at least up until interleague play. Anything else that you want to talk about as far as the hitters go?
Yeah, they have plenty of guys who hit for average. They may lack some pop without Lee Dai-ho, but it's not that big of a deal because they have all these other guys who can hit. And they could. I mean, the DH, for example, when they have the DH out there, he just kind of, well, that's what you're playing in Koshin, but the DH is usually just a rotation guy, just a random hitter. It's not necessarily a good hitter. But they, okay. And then Kenta Imamiya is your defensive guy who's a hitting liability, but they still, somehow even he's a pest when you watch him, and you have to throw out his numbers. The other hitter that really stands out to me is Akira Nakamura. He bats like lead off or third.
Yeah,
that guy seems to hit pretty well, hit for average well. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Seiichi Uchikawa moved from the outfield to the infield. He's now playing first base as a result of the new change. So that's something that stands out. They also welcomed back Tsuyoshi Wada, who was from the Cubs organization. So, you know, a lot of former Cubs in NPB right now. But
for sure.
Wada's back in that rotation. Maybe if you beat him, it'll be a Wada disaster. I don't know if that...
That'd be fun to bring that back.
you'll probably see Kodai Senga, who was the young, really, really talented guy who was an Ikusei pick. And then you will most likely see Shota Takeda, who's also an ace. So that's not going to be a fun weekend if you're going to see those two, assuming.
Right, absolutely. Well, we kind of know them a little bit from the Nippon Series of 2014 when we did get to face them 5 times. Of course, we lost 4 of those. So we faced a lot of their incredible pitching. We also saw a lot of their hitters, and somehow we managed to keep a lot of those games close, which was kind of nice. Just one more note about the Hawks, and it's kind of a personal note, I guess. One of their pitchers was a student of mine, or a student in the school where I was teaching about 8 years ago. He won the Spring Koshien Tournament in high school. His name is Nao Higashihama. I don't know if you've heard of him, Christian.
Yes. It's a former first-round pick. That was a guy that the Lions actually went for in 2012. Same year as Fujinami and Otani, I believe.
Right. Yeah, and I think up until this point they used him pretty sparingly. I mean, he had a couple injuries and he spent some time on the farm, but he seems to have been getting a few more starts maybe this year, if I'm not mistaken, and I think he's actually doing pretty good. Yeah,
he's been getting a handful of starts, but, man, there's so many pitchers. They have to kind of choose and pick who. But the one thing I can note about the Hawks is that Kimiyasu Kudo hasn't done that much in terms of managing in the game. Mm-hmm. He's as vulnerable as anyone else. We've spoken on our podcast about him a bit. I mean, he's made some questionable bullpen moves and changes that really, he's just average as anyone else. If he was given a lesser talented team, he would not look as good as his record is right now with the Hawks. So you never know. You never know.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I hope that we find the Hawks going through a little bit of a lull by this point of interleague, but you never know. I kind of doubt it, actually. I think they're going to devour the Central League. But what do you think? Do the Tigers stand a chance to win 2 out of 3 or take 1? Or do you think that it's going to be a clean sweep for the Hawks?
It's very tempting to say it'll be a clean sweep. I believe the Hawks won the interleague thing last year as well. I'm going to say the Hawks take 2 out of 3. I think you could squeak one of them. Maybe Kudo makes one unusual mistake and move, and maybe that can backfire. He's as average as anyone else. He was given the keys to a fancy car, and all he's got to do is drive it to work. That's how the Hawks roster is. I mean, I think You might have heard Dennis Sarfati say my 8-year-old daughter could manage them.
Yes, I did hear that. I thought that was pretty funny, but actually not very not very inaccurate either. I mean, it sounds like just about anybody could manage them. Sorry, one more thing we didn't talk about at all, and that is their imports. I know that they've got Rick Vandenhurk, who had an incredible start to his career, and obviously, you know, even though he suffered the one loss, he's still an incredible pitcher. Who else do they have as far as imports go?
Oh, they already mentioned Dennis Sarfati. This time we have a guy named Roberto Suarez, who's in their bullpen. He's their setup guy.
Yep.
So he's beaten Edison Barrios in that position. They have one hitter named Bobardo Canizares, but they haven't played him a whole lot. So most likely they'll just have three pitchers out of the imports by the time you see them.
That's a great name that guy's got. All right, cool. Well, it's going to be a fun interleague season. Once again, we are recording this on May the 29th, so nothing has happened yet. But thank you for joining us again for the show, Christian, and hopefully we can have you on another time. Obviously, if the Hanshin Tigers and the Saitama Seibu Lions face off in the Nippon Series as a 31st anniversary to the 1985 one, then we can definitely have you on. But what are the chances of that? Not too good.
I wish I could say that. Right now, the Lions don't look like a playoff team, but, well, who knows?
All right. Well, again, Christian, thanks a lot for helping us out with this, with educating us about the Pacific League. Thanks for covering the Seibu Lions, the PL, and Nippon baseball in general. It's really great to read your stuff, to listen to you guys when I get the chance and all that. So all the best to you the rest of the way.
Thank you very much, and thanks again for having me.
All right, for sure. Hanshin Tigers English. Hanshin Tigers English. Hanshin Tigers English. Hot topics. So we are back to talk with the NPB tracker, Patrick Newman, about the third and final week of Interleague play. Welcome back to the show, Patrick.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's always great to have you. How's your voice doing this week?
It's a lot better than last week, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Okay, well, that's a relief. I'm glad to hear that. So let's talk about the past week anyways before we jump into the week ahead. You predicted a 3-0 for the Tigers against the Marines. Didn't quite turn out that way, did it?
No, it didn't. That was admittedly gutsy prediction at the time.
Sure was.
Yeah, I think they just got outplayed top to bottom in those three games, so don't know how much more you could say about it.
Yeah, I mean, the only one that they actually stood a chance in was the opener against Ishikawa, and they only managed to push the one run across the plate, but the other two were just blowouts. It wasn't even close. And then you said 1-1-1 against the Fighters, and so you're pretty close in that one. It almost played out pretty much exactly as you said it would, where you picked Otani to win. You said that we would win against Yoshikawa, and those two you were right on. And then you said a tie against Mendoza, and that one, you know, were it not for our friend Kyuji, I think you might have been right.
Well, if not for Kyuji, I think Hanshin would have won by one or two for that game. So that was certainly not a prediction that I wanted, I guess.
Right. Well, yeah, so it could have even been in our favor then, and it wasn't. So yeah. It's a new week, and you're going to get a new chance to make some predictions if you'd like. But before we do the predictions, let's talk a bit about our opponents. So we're going up against the Oryx Buffaloes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at Koshien. And the Buffaloes are 4-8 so far in interleague play. They're looking every bit as bad as the Tigers, I think. Although they are 3-0 on the road, and they went just 1-8 in the home portion of interleague. Tell us a little bit about the team. What you think we can expect out of them?
So Oryx, I criticized Oryx as the one team in Japan without any bright spots. Last time I was on the Japanese Baseball Weekly podcast with John. And that may be a little bit harsh, but it's really hard to believe that this is a team that actually won more games than SoftBank did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
SoftBank won 78 games 2 years ago, and Oryx, I think, won 80. And SoftBank won the league title because they got more ties, but still, it kind of shows how far they've fallen. Oryx is having a tough, difficult year. Basically, what they did after their great season in 2014 was sign a bunch of veterans like Tony Blanco, Brian Bullinger, Hiroyuki Nakajima, Koyano, what's his name, Eiichi Koyano. So they signed all these guys and tried to fill in whatever gaps they may have with established veteran talent, but none of those guys have panned out. They've all been either unhealthy or just bad in the case of Nakajima. and this year they're dealing with some injuries. I think Kaneko is not really, Chihiro Kaneko, their ace, has never really been the same after his elbow problems that he opened last year with.
Right.
Yuki Nishi is their number two starter, and he's a guy who's kind of a gutsy pitcher without really overwhelming stuff. He's having a bad year. Brandon Dixon is another guy who's sort of a third member of that rotation that they've relied on, and he's taking a big step backwards. I don't know if he's hurt or if something is wrong, but in any case, he's not performing like he has the last two or three years. So basically not much is going right. They've been towards the bottom of the league in the Pacific, and they're losing in Interleague. So tough year for Oryx.
Yeah, they actually just fell into last place in the Pacific League with their loss on Sunday, and actually Rakuten is actually having a pretty decent interleague run here. So outside of the Hanshin series, actually, they are 6-3. They lost 2 out of 3 to us, and they've been 6-3 since then. So Rakuten's doing great, but Oryx is not. So you talked a lot about their pitchers. Are there any hitters that you think we need to keep our eyes on? I know you mentioned Blanco and you mentioned Nakajima. Are they factors? Are they not factors? Is there anybody else that you think looks good on that team?
Well, I guess the question is Blanco going to be in the lineup? And because he's missed a lot of time so far this year. So one guy I really like is Yoshio Itoi, their right fielder, who's he's kind of like one of these five tool type of guys, sort of like a poor man's version of Yanagita for SoftBank.
Who poor and old man's version, yeah.
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 Well, he's older, and he's never had the power, and he's certainly not peaked as high as Yanagita has, but I really like him. He does everything well. He actually started his career as a pitcher. He's one of these guys who could throw 150 kilometers per hour, but with no control. So he switched to the outfield and made a name for himself. His career as a hitter hasn't been that long, but he is already, I think, 35. So he's kind of a veteran type. Mm-hmm. Another guy is T. Okada. Mm-hmm. Okada has this swing where he kind of compresses all on one back on all his weight on his back leg, and then kind of uncoils like a spring on pitches, and so he's got a lot of power when everything's working right for him, but he kind of goes sideways and goes into the wilderness sometimes for like a year at a time. And, and this year he's been pretty good though. And the other guy I like is their shortstop, Adachi, who is just not hitting the ball at all this year, but he's a good player overall. Overall, I mean, this is a team that's struggling. And so, it's a time for Hanshin to hopefully claw back a few of these games that they haven't won in interleague so far.
Right. Yeah, it looks like, so you mentioned Itoi. He's, I think, their top hitter. He's batting just over 300. And then they've got a guy named Nishino, who I'm not very familiar with. And then after that, it really falls off as far as their season batting averages go. And I think as for the starting pitchers, they last week on Tuesday, they went with Nishi. And then on Wednesday, they went with Matsuba. And Thursday, they went with Kaneko. But they also deactivated Kaneko after that start. So I don't know who they'll put in his place. But that's good news for the Tigers, I think, that Kaneko will not be there. But what do you think? How do you think we're going to fare against the Buffaloes this week?
Well, there's a couple of other younger pitchers. Yeah, there's Matsuba, and there's also Tome. And there's Yoshida, too. And I need to look up how those guys are performing. So it kind of depends on really who they draw as in pitching matchups, and it's whether they the poor week that they had behind them. But I mean, two or three wins should be feasible for them with the way Oryx has been playing. Yeah, definitely. Oh, there's one other guy I really like, the in the bullpen. They've got two hard throwers, Hirano and Sato Tatsuya. And Sato is not, his numbers aren't as good this year as we're used to, but he's a little guy who throws hard and has a hard breaking pitch as well. And then Hirano continues to put up good numbers. So I think the important thing is to get to their starters if you can, and beat them that way. And I guess Yoshida's a reliever this year, so he's good too. So yeah, two wins should be doable. You know, we'll see. I think Hanshin is a more talented team than this group overall, or they're playing better. They have the ability to play better. But you know, as we've seen, you know, even Rakuten has been making it interesting. So we'll see. So I think Hanshin has the advantage.
I think Hanshin has the potential. They definitely need to get some momentum going because it just seems like even, I don't know, they don't seem to have a lot of life, you know, even in the clubhouse and that kind of stuff. So if they can get it going, I think on Tuesday, they've got a good chance of doing really well there. All right, let's look at the three against SoftBank now. And man, what can we say about SoftBank except that they belong somewhere in a different league than all of these other teams? I mean, they're destroying everybody. They destroyed everybody pre-interleague, and so far in interleague play, they are 9-2-1, so they are just killing it. What say you?
Yeah, they are 40-15-5 on the season. So, I think just tying SoftBank is a good result. you know, they have the most ties of the year of anybody with five. So they don't even like to lose. They'll maybe let you tie them. So the scary thing I think is that SoftBank is winning like this, and they've only just recently started to get production from the top of the lineup. And this year, Yanagita was getting pitched around a lot, and he was batting something like 260 or so until relatively recently. He's up around 300 now, but he's getting pitched around a lot, and he's not got the home run numbers that he had last year. So and then the scary thing is that the top of the lineup is really just starting to produce and just starting to get going. And the other scary thing is that they never replaced Daiho Lee, who left for the majors last year and was probably their second best bat last year, maybe their third best. You know, he would be the best hitter on a lot of teams in Japan last year, but definitely. He's the third best guy on SoftBank. So the scary thing is that they could be that much better in terms of team offense. In terms of pitching, they've got a lot of great young starters. I recall from listening to your talk with Christian that you had taught Higashihama at some point when he was a student.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yes. When he was in high school, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess, was that in Okinawa?
That was in Okinawa, yeah. While I was down there. I was at the same high school. I actually never taught him in class, but I did get to go to quite a few games just because, you know, I was right there and teachers were expected or at least encouraged to go to games. And so I definitely caught a lot and it was a joy to watch him. He was really good and he's having a great year so far, isn't he?
Yeah, he's having a breakthrough year. He's one of these guys who had who has a great arm and who just wasn't getting a chance at Ichigun for whatever reason, and he played winter ball 1 year, and so he's stuck with it, and he's still only what 25 or so, 26 maybe. So he's
probably around that. Yeah.
So he's still pretty young, but he's having a breakthrough year, and he's just another weapon for them in the rotation. So this is a tough team. I mean, they really don't have any weakness at all, unless you want to call their lack of like a traditional slugging first baseman a weakness. So yeah, they're going to be tough.
You really have to dig deep to find a quote-unquote weakness. Yeah, obviously with them. So, yeah, what can we say except that they are, you know, they're leading their league in home runs. They are second in stolen bases. They've got the third highest average. They've got the best ERA. They've got the best pitchers. They've got the best hitters. You know, we can talk, you know, nonstop about this. They also have a great farm system. They have a lot of, you know, youth in their organization. So they're going to be good. They're going to be a force for years to come.
Well, and they've got a big budget too. So they can, they can pay for talent also.
Are they the only team right now with a Sangun? I think the Giants have talked about starting one as well, but I think right now SoftBank has a Sangun team, and they might be the only one that has one, right?
I think you're right about that. The Giants have had a Sangun off and on over the years. So what that Sangun team winds up doing, and other teams have had a Sangun that's like a practice squad kind of thing. But what the Sangun team does with SoftBank, as I understand it, is plays games against industrial league and independent league and college teams and so forth. So, so they get a little more game action and they get a little bit more, more experience, playing in a competitive environment than you would get sitting on a bench in Nigun. So, so yeah, good for them for focusing on development.
Sure. All right. Well, if we face the same pitchers as they trotted out on this past Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll be seeing Higashihama on Friday and Senga on Saturday and Takeda on Sunday. Do you think we have any hope of winning any of those three games, Patrick?
Well, there's always hope. those are tough matchups, all three of them. I think Senga is another guy who... he's actually surprised me. I love Senga. I think he's phenomenal. I love guys who throw hard and have good hard breaking stuff. And I thought he was going to be a dominant relief pitcher in his career in baseball, but he's moved into the rotation this year and he's been fantastic so far. So Takeda, I think I always think he's not as good as his numbers show whenever I watch him, but he continues to perform. He was at one point, I think he's from somewhere in Tokyo, and he was referred to as the Darvish of, I think, I want to say Shitamachi no Darvish. So a few years ago when every tall right-hander was so-and-so no Darvish. So, I think all those starters are tough. I think their bullpen with Sarfate is really good too. So, yeah, those are games that I think Hanshin's best hope is to keep him close and try to keep SoftBank off the board and scrap for runs where you can get them and go for a low scoring game. And I think if they do that, they can at least stay competitive and maybe steal a win or two.
Or two would be definitely nice, but seeing as SoftBank has only surrendered two so far. Yeah, it might be wishful thinking.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think the best hope is to keep it close. I mean, they've only lost 15 so far out of 60. So, and they've got they've got six in a row here, and you know, the two games they've lost so far in intraleague are 2-1 against Hiroshima, and then 5-0 against Chunichi, and then they had a 1-1 tie against Hiroshima. So
Hiroshima, yeah.
So I think that's the key is try to keep them off the board and try to go for a low scoring game. And you know, you don't want one of these 22-6 drubbings or 10-2. So and they had a. They had a 7-game winning streak at the beginning of Interleague as well. So, really, really tough team.
All right. Well, that does it for our Interleague previews. Thank you for joining us again, Patrick. I really appreciate you taking the time out to be on the show with us.
Oh, it's always a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
Definitely. We'll do it again. Maybe sometime later in the season, we'll pick you up and we'll get some more insight into how the season's going for everybody from you.
Yep. Would love to do so.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you.
For what it's worth, everybody, let's check in on the H10 Fantasy Tigers League. Hey, this is T-Ray. Thanks for joining us once again on Fantasy Tigers. Well, it seems like it's nonstop Halloween in Tigers Land. 2 weeks ago, it was Randy Messenger giving out candy to all the Hiroshima carp. And then it was Iwasada a couple weeks ago giving it out to all the Cebu Lions. And this week, I think it was my turn because Fujinami lined up and said, "Come get your candy, boys." And then Moriya said, "Why don't you take some more?" And then Akiyama said, "I'm going to give you guys some more too." And then for good measure, we got Iwazaki giving up 3 bombs today. So candy, candy, candy. Hope everybody enjoyed the bomb fest, the stink fest that was my team this week. The only saving grace was that my farm boys did well. Akiyama with 6 shutout innings. And Uemoto with a home run. And Perez with a home run. And Nakatani with RBIs. So even if my pitchers stink, I have a good feeling that my farm boys are still taking you down, Jimbo, and still taking you down, Zorny. What you got? What you got?
Don't you want it? Don't you need it? Your fantasy. Tigers fantasy.
Hey, everyone. It's your boy, Zorny, here. And oh my god, we suck in these interleague games. And when you think you're winning, think again. Something's up and about to happen. It's just too good to be true. Just like on the first game of the Fighter Series, when we were winning at the bottom of the ninth, leading by 1 run, and then, all of a sudden, it's that time of the year again, it's time for candy, it's Halloween June, as T-Red said. And you know who loves to give away candy? My old friend Fujikawa. But he doesn't just give candy to be eaten, he gives candy to be crushed, just like Candy Crushed. You know what I mean? Oh boy, you guys know the rest. Hopefully we'll sweep the Buffaloes and try not to get humiliated by the Hogs afterwards. Is that too much to ask?
It's here now. You just listen to your fantasy. Your Tigers fantasy.
Hello there, H10 fans. Jimbo here, ready to give you your weekly dose of fantasy. But, unfortunately, I think the Tigers have forgotten about me and that my fantasies need to be realized. It's a sad week. It is a sad, sad week when nobody on this fantasy, in this fantasy league, the three guys here, nobody has any room to talk smack to anybody this week. It was just a bad week all around. I think the best pitcher, though, a little bright spot, that was Ranmes. That man had a great, great game. I mean, yeah, fantastic. I think the only person close is like Fujikawa, who can put up more runs in one inning than Randy Messenger does in 9. Wow, Fujikawa really gets it done there. My goodness, Zorny, that is just bad. And T-Ray, you know, the whole Tiger Nation is sad to see what happened to Fujinami. I mean, even in a fantasy league, you don't want to see anybody go down like that. But, you know, you better shore some stuff up because Iwazaki pitched a stinker. Fujinami wasn't doing well before he got injured. Hopefully he'll be back soon. Hopefully he'll be pitching well, but geez, pitching is not looking good. And batters, whew! I have to thank Kanemoto for taking my guys out of the lineup because we were going like 1-for-20 with all my hitters in. One for whatever, you know, put up a high number, 1-for-60. We'd hit there. We'd get that one hit by Toritani. Other than that, walks. That's the only way we're getting on base. So, I mean, I've taken up enough of your time. I just need a shoulder to cry on.
What's going to happen when the record's going to be? What's going to happen when the record's going to be? What's going to happen when the record's going to be? What's going to happen when the record's going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
We have got a week ahead of us in which we are going to be hosting the Oryx Buffaloes for 3, and then we're going to be hosting the SoftBank Hawks for 3. So, why don't we pick our Tigers record once again? I mean, it's kind of painful to do this, isn't it, Joe? I mean, you and I were both right on the Fighters series. We both said 1 and 2 in that one. I was closer on the Latte series. I think you said 2 and 1.
Right.
I said 1 and 2. Patrick said 3 and 0. Oops. And Christian said we might get swept or we might win one. So he was the closest. Although when you choose 2 possible outcomes, I don't count that as being a successful prediction. Anyways, but thanks for joining us anyways, Christian. Appreciate it. Anyways, so let's go ahead and choose then for this one. Just to alert everybody, I was listening to Tigers Cast a couple weeks ago when they did their interleague preview, and they told the listeners that the Tigers have the worst interleague record against the Oryx Buffaloes. Out of all the PL teams, we are the worst against them, and we got swept by them last year. We got absolutely pulverized. The Buffaloes are equally terrible this year as a team. In fact, they went...
they're tied with us in the Interleague. They're 4-8 so far.
Okay, there you go. They're tied with us. They actually... they won their only 3 road games that they've played. I forget. They must have swept Yakult. I can't imagine they swept anybody else. And then when they hosted... in their 9 games, they are 1-8, but they're going to be playing in our barn, and they will be bringing Nishi, and then they will be bringing Matsuba, who I've never heard of, and then they would have brought Chihiro Kaneko, who was the Sawamura Award winner in 2014, but he's hurt, so I don't know who they're bringing there. But what do you think? How are we going to do against the Buffaloes, Joe?
I am going to go that we are going to reverse the losing streak and go with 2-1 against the Buffaloes, and so, and then
okay.
For the next series,
before we jump on that, I'm going to go sweep for the Tigers. Yes, they are going to turn things around and win 3 straight against the Oryx Buffaloes. Watch it happen.
Oof, good luck with that. I don't know if we have the pitching to do that. I'd like to see
it happen. Good luck with that. Yeah, for sure. Well, I hope Fujinami comes back healthy, and I hope Nomi can actually break his winless streak, which has gone on long enough, and he hasn't pitched that poorly. And then in the middle one, I don't know if Aoyagi is going to play or who, but I really hope that we can just go 3 straight, kind of, you know, straighten things out again, get us back to 1 game below 500, which is where we've been sitting for a long time anyways until this recent week. Okay, and then we face the SoftBank Hawks for 3 at home. They will probably bring, if they keep their 3 from last week, they will bring Nao Higashihama on Friday night. They'll bring somebody Senga on Saturday. And then they'll bring Shota Takeda on Sunday. I don't know if anyone remembers him from the Nippon series, but he dominated us. So those will be probably their 3, and we will probably counter with Iwasada, Messenger, and Iwazaki, if all stays the same. So what say you, Joe, against the SoftBank Hawks?
I am going to say that we get swept. I don't know if we have the offensive power to dominate against this team, especially with their pitching this year. Yeah, they're 9-2-1 on the interleague so far. I know it's in our own place, but I just don't have a good feeling going into this week. So,
okay, I am going to counter that with the same prediction. Actually, I'm not countering it at all. I'm just backing you up. Yeah, they're 9-2-1 in interleague. They are crushing everybody. They have hit 17 home runs, which is far and away tops in interleague play. And, you know, our pitchers have been really good at giving up home runs, so that just doesn't bode well for us. So they're batting .270, and their ERA in interleague is 2.12, which is second best. Actually, Chunichi has the best ERA so far in interleague. So I'm saying 3-0 and then 0-3. You're saying 2-1 and then 0-3.
It'll be an improvement on this week, right? Either way.
Yeah. I mean, if we're right. Okay. All right. So that about does it for today's show, Joe. I thank you for joining us again, and all the best to you with your upcoming wedding plans. What do you think about coming out to Japan for your honeymoon?
You know, we were talking last night about where we're going for our honeymoon. We're not actually going to go on a honeymoon right away. We're going on a family vacation the week after. But so we're thinking maybe next year to plan something, and I definitely want to put Japan in the as a candidate for the honeymoon, so we'll see.
Excellent. All right, very good, very good. Well, that's good to hear, and you know, family is really important. I'm glad that you guys are able to do that and just spend some good quality time and all that stuff. And you guys have got a lifetime ahead of, you know, ahead of yourselves with each other. So all the best with that. For everybody out there, I hope that you enjoy your week of Tigers baseball a lot more than you enjoyed this past week. Joe, I hope you enjoyed as well.
Yeah, hopefully, hopefully we do better than we're thinking. But let's have a good week.
Absolutely. Yeah, by the way, I will be at two of those games, including the Wednesday game against the Buffaloes and the Friday game against the Hawks. So I might report from Koshien. Catch you guys later. Have a great week.